You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Car. Is he out of bounds or inbounds? Touchdown, is he a call? Lawrence fires, that's caught on the run. Christian Kirk inside the 20, he goes, and Christian Kirk takes the ball all the way to about the 1 yard line. Carr to the end zone, off the fingertips of Moreau. Could not hold it in.
Ooh, Foster Moreau dropped what could have been the game-tying touchdown. Or who knows, maybe the Saints would have gone for two. They threw a fade on fourth down in the red zone. That didn't work either. The Jaguars escape 31-24 in a game that was, you know, not as entertaining as that score would say, but more entertaining than we thought it was going to be about halfway through when it looked like the Jaguars were going to run away with this. I'm Greg Rosenthal, wrapping up TNF with Charles McDonald from Yahoo. You helped us out a year ago, Charles. He's the host of the Exemplist podcast, doing good stuff over at Yahoo Sports. Thanks for joining, Charles. Glad we got a good one for you.
Yeah, well, I was a little worried when as this game was going on in the first half, but luckily, the Jaguars kind of, you know, did what they've done all year and mess around in the second half and let the other team get back into it. But they were blessed by the grace of God, really, to have Foster Moreau drop that touchdown at the end of the game and give them the win. But, man, that was a really, really sloppy game. Like,
yeah.
Like you said, the final score does not it was not an indicator of how competitive or close that actually was.
Right. There's so much, and I do think this tends to happen on TNF games. I used to think it was just something people complained about on Thursday nights because, like, half of these early, you know, slate games on Sundays, they're ugly too. But now I really do think there is something to it, not having that time to get ready and to recover your body and everything that goes along with it. So this was an ugly game, but it ended up being entertaining. And I'm trying to check myself because, you know, I went to school in New Orleans. I follow the Saints team closely, and they feel like the main characters to me in this game, the ups and the downs, and they're the home team. And yeah, I will start with the Jaguars here because they are 5-2, and they've managed to get through a tricky part of the schedule where they were in London for two games. They come back, they have a division game, and then a short week on the road in New Orleans. They get to 5-2, and you said it, Charles. Every week they come out and their opening script is godlike. I mean, Press Taylor, who's calling plays for them now, and Doug Peterson helps put together the plan, and Trevor Lawrence, they come out every week. The first couple of drives are awesome. It happened again tonight. They put a touchdown up early. They get another touchdown early second quarter. It's 14-3. And then it just gets stagnant the rest of the game, and I can't really put it on Trevor Lawrence, who's playing out there with an injured knee, although he looked good running the ball. Like, what is it that you're seeing with his offense this year and then certainly in this game where it's like they seem to start off well and then they can't quite hit the levels that they were hitting at the end of last year?
Well, I think one thing was big for them in this game, at least, was the absence of Zay Jones. I almost said Zay Flowers. Wrong Zay. But they kind of found themselves in a situation today where Jamal Agnew was taking real deal wide receiver reps for them when he's more of a gadget return guy. You know, I feel like if in the best use of Jamal Agnew for an NFL offense, you're probably looking at a guy who's taking screens, maybe a reverse or a jet sweep every once in a while. But where they got into trouble was, you know, having him run routes that you would expect Calvin Ridley to be making or Zay Jones to be making or Christian Kirk to be making. And for some reason, he kind of kept getting funneled the ball. Like, he had 6 targets in the first half alone, and they tried to give him the ball in another reverse that didn't really work out in their favor. So I think they're just kind of stuck when the Ridley to Lawrence connection isn't working, right?
And it wasn't working. Like,
it wasn't working today
Jamal
at all.
Jamal Agnew got 6 targets. Calvin Ridley had 4. I don't think he had any in the first half. He only had 1 catch, 5 yards. It's been a very strange Ridley season where it's either he's the game changer or he's kind of taken away from the offense. And that's what it felt like tonight on a big call that they dialed. You're on a big drive when it was tied, I believe, or they're trying to put the game away. They go 3 straight plays to Ridley. None of them work. They end up getting the ball back and getting the go-ahead touchdown. But it's been uneven throwing it to Ridley.
Yeah, I think when you look at the whole offense, it's really they're kind of incomplete when you look at the sum of their talent. I think having Trevor Lawrence, it is a huge blessing for the Jaguars. We even saw that tonight coming off of a knee injury. He still picked up a handful of clutch first downs on his own when things were open downfield. So he's kind of gotten to a place in his career, I think, where he can elevate the talent around him. And luckily they play, you know, the NFC South and the AFC South this year. So that should be a good amount of wins for them. But I think when you look at where they're trying to be, which is at the top of the AFC, they're not quite there yet, like with the Bills or the Dolphins or the Chiefs. But they're coming. You know, I think they're another offseason away.
But they're also stacking wins as they go. And so one of the things I've tried to learn over the years is like, man, October, these teams, they're not really who they're going to be when it matters. They'll fool you one way or another. And the key is, do you have the pieces that are there? Are you kind of stacking wins and you're in a good position along the way? And they've done it. They started out 1-2. They're up to 5-2. No one in the AFC has more wins than they do as we go to sleep. Tonight they got Pittsburgh next week, and then they have a bye week. So a nice little stretch here where they have a lot of off days. And as you mentioned, the schedule's not bad at all down the stretch. So they're in good position, and we can get to their defense later, but there's some things about their defense I like. And ultimately, like, they're improving enough on offense, and Lawrence looks good this year that I'm not too worried. But I got to get to the Saints because this whole game.
Yeah.
Let's work backwards, actually, at the end, because the Saints offense came alive in the fourth quarter. The Alvin Kamara offense, which is like what we can call the Saints, he had 29 touches total, 153 yards from scrimmage total, 62 were on the ground on 17 carries, 12 catches for 91. I mean, everything is check down. Everything's going to Kamara. He's not really making plays on the second level, but he's good at making that first guy missed, but it was a very frustrating night for Derek Carr. It's a frustrating night for Saints fans who are booing the hell out of him early. He's yelling at half of his teammates during the game. Olave for stopping short on a route. Kamara for changing his route up once. He's checking the ball down before even seeming to go through his reads. And then you look up at the end of the game, and here they are, like, making a fourth quarter comeback. A Foster Moreau drop away from tying this thing at like 31 if they go for the extra point. And I know Dennis Allen, he's gutless. He would have definitely gone for the extra point. Like, what do you make of this Saints team after spending your night with them?
Oof,
an open-ended question, but I'm frustrated watching it.
The petty Falcons fan in me, I got a nice kick out of that, to be honest with you, because they look terrible for the vast majority of the game, right? And honestly, for how decimated their offensive line was, I thought the protection maybe could have been a little bit worse. Like, there were times when Josh Allen and Andres Pete, you know, had their quote-unquote battles where Josh Allen would run straight past them, or they had, like, protection mix-ups in the middle where, you know, they had guys running straight through the middle of the line of scrimmage. But it's just so constipated. Like, they don't really have anything to get. It's the best way that I can describe it, right?
Good word for it.
Because Derek Carr, the most explosive playmaker they have, Chris Olave, Derek Carr has no rapport with him right now. And, you know, Olave dropped the pass today, too, as well. So you look at that, the decline of Michael Thomas to where he's at right now, it kind of turns into an offense where all you have is Alvin Kamara and trying to spam the ball to him. So is Alvin Kamara going to catch 100 passes this year? I don't really think that that's a great style of offense for them. But then they come back, and you have, when you got to have it, they run down the field, 53 yards, three plays, score a touchdown. I'm like, where is that? Where has that been all game? Because it's, I don't think these players are as bad as maybe their production has been, but it was just a mess tonight.
No, I think if you put Kamara or even Michael Thomas on a more functional offense, they would look better. Kamara, yeah, he has 23 catches going into this game, so he now has 35 on the season in four games. That's crazy. That's like a, that's, if he was playing 17 games, that's like a pace for 150, and he's not the same dude he used to be in terms of making people miss at the second level. And so some of those, I've said it on this show, some of those plays that used to be like 21 yards are like 8 now or 10. But they wore the Jags down. I think part of that, a big part of that, was just it's a short week, and they ended up running 87 plays. The Jags could not stay on the field in the second half. They decided not to go for it on a fourth down. The Saints had a really long drive that then didn't score, and then they had a pick six, and then they had another long drive. So they just had the ball forever, and I think that's part of the reason why you saw the Saints look so good at the end of the game, was the Jaguars defense was just worn out. But you're right on Olave, because there's frustration there. They threw the ball to him 15 times tonight for 57 yards. So that's under 4 yards per attempt when you're targeting Olave, nothing over 14 yards. There was frustration, there's drops, and then especially early in the game, there was just straight up misses by Derek Carr. So he's combining to me like a guy who plays it very safe, kind of checking down before he even looks down the field. That's why I love Thursday nights. You can watch the prime vision and kind of see the field. And he's just hitting that Kamara, you know, throwing the flat before he even takes any time. But when he is trying to go deeper down the field, it just seems like things are off. So it's a lot of the same, just kind of drop back and throw it. Not a lot of creativity. Like, Saints fans are done with Pete Carmichael, and they're wondering if Derek Carr is better than Andy Dalton was a year ago.
Yeah, it one of the more interesting parts of the game to me was, you know, you said they had 87 plays. Like, they had to use all of those plays to get, you know, down the field, because as bad as they were on third down, because there were so many plays where Derek Carr, like, it'd be 3rd and 8 and he's throwing short of sticks. 3rd and 6, he's throwing short of sticks. And then they end up 4 and 6 on fourth down, because I think in the second half they were like, well, screw it, we got to start going for it. Even if Derek's not going to, you know, give us a chance down the field, we still have 41 in the backfield and we can spam that. So
they went 3 of 18, by the way, on third down. That was, until they got that third one, that was the most third down attempts without a third conversion in 4 years. So it's pretty rare that a team does that.
Yeah, it just, the best way I can put it is, offense looked very, very hard for the Saints tonight. There's just no easy buttons. There's no outlets. And yeah, hopefully that can improve for them as the offensive line gets healthy, and maybe Trevor Penning can improve and start to look like the first round pick that they drafted him to be. But they just kind of seem to be in a bit of a talent deficit right now. It's top heavy. You still have your stars at the top, but I think what we've seen as they've had to deal with the effects of kicking all the Breeze money down the road and kicking all those contracts down the road is you start to lose like the middle class of your roster. So when an Alante Taylor gets hurt, maybe you don't have someone to replace him. When your offensive line gets hurt, you've probably got someone cheaper than what you had in the past as depth. So that's where you start to see it, because I think it's interesting when people say, oh, the cap's not real, cap's not real. And for the most part, like, yeah, you can do your tricks to mess around with it. But when you put yourself into a situation like the Saints, it's just a slow bleed of talent over year after year after year after year. And I looked it up during the game today. They are projected to have negative $80 million in cap space next year. So,
well, they could mess around with that.
Yeah.
To a decent degree.
To a degree.
here's some guaranteed money that they have next year. I know it's a little early to be talking like next year for Saints, but Derek Carr, Ramchick, you're loving this as a Falcons fan. I want to get to your reaction too about how the Saints fans are booing the hell out of the team. But Derek Carr, Ramchick, Cam Jordan, Kamara, Taysom Hill, Jameis, they all have money that's going to be, I think, $10 million plus into next year. And yeah, they can keep spreading it out, but that's money that's going to be on their cap. And the point is, like, these are all declining players. You know, they're not players that are on the upswing for the most part. So now you're kind of tied into this core for at least a couple more years that aren't necessarily getting better. The whole point is to be maxing out this year to get to 9 or 10 wins, to get Dennis Allen and Mickey Loomis another 2 years at this gig. I mean, to me, that's been the whole point of this Saints season, and I think it's why the fans are especially so frustrated. How are you feeling watching them boo the hell out of the Saints, like, in the first half? The game was just, like, 7-3, and they're booing the checkdowns to Derek Carr. Like, they're 3-3. They're tied for – are they tied for first, or the Bucks are 3-2?
The Bucks are first.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're basically – they're 3-3, though. They're trying to get into first place this week. And their fans are booing the hell out of them because they're kind of just sick of watching this offense. Like, how does that make you feel as a Saints hater?
Amazing. It's what, like, these people deserve to have. I don't know. This is the best way that I can put it.
I can't get too
ahead of myself because, like, this rivalry does get petty enough where someone will come back and pull this and say something to me about it if the Falcons offense doesn't pick it up. But for now, I mean, watching Derek Carr get booed as a Saints quarterback, it's like everything I dreamed of this offseason. It's what I need. And I think what's crazy is I found myself looking at, you know, his contract to see if they could get out of it after the offseason.
Yeah, they kind of can. But
they kind of can. Yeah,
they can and they will if it goes downhill. But they'll eat half of it. They eat plus $10 million or something, and they would do that if that's what they feel like the best move is. We'll see how the rest of this season goes.
I think the interesting thing for where Saints fans are, where the organization is every year, basically since Drew Brees has started to dwindle down through his retirement through this year, you're all in just based on how your roster is set up. Like, you kind of have to functionally be all in. So you're starting to see diminishing returns on what being all in every single year starts to look like. And now you're kind of at a spot where, oh man, some of our core players are getting older. We just signed Derek Carr and he doesn't look like he's a great fit here. And now we're just kind of waving around in no man's land again. So like you said, their goal should be to get 10 wins because job security matters if you are Dennis Allen and Mickey Loomis, but I don't really see where this season is supposed to take them.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but I do have a couple points on what you just said with job security coming up after the break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah.
It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I do want to mention here how this was a revenge game for Doug Peterson. And I love the guys at the Saints Twitter podcast. I'm sure they are ranting tonight. They have one of the best team-specific podcasts out there. You guys can check it out. And one of the things that always cracks me up is they're so pissed that Doug Peterson only got a Zoom interview when they hired Dennis Allen. That, like, they didn't want to fly that, you know, Doug Peterson, who had won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, down to New Orleans. They're just going to cheap out. We're gonna interview you on Zoom because we know we got this guy in-house, Dennis Allen, who's now 18-42 as a head coach in the NFL. And we kind of know we're going to hire him. And so these are kind of sham interviews. We're going to do Eric Bieniemy like that too. And we're not really going to try to get creative on offense. We're going to keep Pete Carmichael, who, you know, there were some whispers, reports, didn't even want the OC job because he was kind of cool with just kind of being, you know, in the background. And I'm not saying that to, like, say, oh, let's just mock them, they made a bad choice. I'm saying it to point out what you talked about, which is, like, I think they did that because Dennis Allen was the guy they knew that wasn't going to rock the boat. And I do think there is something about this organization where Gail Benson's there, who took over for her late husband, and Mickey Loomis is really running this show. He has about as much power as anyone that's like not an owner, not a head coach. Sean Payton's out the door. And I think they just wanted to, like, keep it all in-house. They weren't hiring any new assistants from outside the building. It's all the same people. It's like all the same players. It's just like, let's just keep this all together. We don't want someone like Doug coming in here who's going to bring in his own people. And who knows, if it gets kind of sideways, like, we're going to be out of a job. So it's this whole sort of culture that I think speaks to what even you were talking about with the roster getting stale. It's just like, let's just hold on to this as long as we can. Like, I don't think there's any aspirations to win the Super Bowl. It's like, let's get paid for like 4 or 5 more years if we can. And that's like, I get it. Like, I get the motivation to make that happen. But, like, I don't think long-term success is gonna happen when you make decisions like that.
No. And at the time, I kind of understood it because I do think where they were as far as like their roster construction and their cap space was kind of relevant for the hire they made. You know, I don't think it was quite an inspiring hire because, like you said, 18-42 record kind of speaks for itself after a while. But you're at a point where, excuse me, you can't really blow it up and rebuild due to the contracts you have. So maybe you just say, let's run it back to a degree. And for Doug, that worked out great for you, man. Like, you got you fell into the lap of Trevor Lawrence.
That's
and now
true.
That gets to be your
it
protege.
It was much better that way. And that was at the point in the offseason too. Doug Peterson was not sure to get a job. I forget now off the top of my head who Jacksonville's first pick was. But it wasn't Doug Peterson.
Was that the Byron Leftwich year?
Was that it?
Wow. Well, maybe. No. I think that was the year after.
He didn't want it. It was the same hiring cycle as Allen. But they ended up with the better coach with Doug Peterson. And thank you. This is why I like the TNF recaps. It's the only time we go this deep into one team. It's the only time I really feel like I have the space where my regular co-hosts Mark and Dan aren't just going to cut me off from making my 3-minute rant on the Saints have just been trying to protect their jobs all these years from Dennis Allen.
It was Byron Leftwich. I just looked it up. Memory did not fail. Yeah, they picked Doug over Byron, then Byron got fired after this past season.
Mm. Well, they made a good choice. Doug Peterson doing a good job. And then the last thing on the Saints is you mentioned how, they didn't protect Carr well tonight, maybe a little better than you would expect. They did have backups at their tackle position. They suddenly are very banged up there. But that speaks to the weirdness that's going on there. Their first round pick, Trevor Penning, was their left tackle starter the whole season until last week when an article goes up on NewOrleansFootball.com. I don't know how deep you've gotten into this, Charles. But I'm deep into Saints Twitter. Talking basically about how bad Trevor Penning's been.
I've watched him play.
Sources inside the organization and saying how he's messing up the run game and that he's going to be benched. And that's how he learned that he was going to be benched. And I'm fine with, like, them benching Trevor Penning. He struggled. But this is some Dennis Allen stuff where he did it back in Oakland, and he's done it a little bit in New Orleans with when they were going to trade CeeDee Deuce, where he started seeing all this stuff popping out in the media, and he's just like kind of using the media to explain what he's going to do. But it's like, just tell the man your bench.
Right.
You don't need to like do some whole sourcing and bury him in the media. So it's like, I don't think players respect that, and they're not stupid. Believe me, if I'm talking about it, they're talking about it.
Well, especially with the Trevor Penning thing, it's not like benching him would not have been totally justified based on watching him play.
Their left tackle got hurt, and then their backup left tackle got hurt, and
right,
now he's
right.
Like the fifth string tackle. What's going on? They didn't start.
I know it's crazy. Like it kind of seems like they're just waving the white flag on that pick already, which is kind of crazy. But he really has been that bad. I think it's also kind of an indictment on maybe even where they are, like culturally, that they would rather go Andres Pete and Cam Irving as your tackles than even just try to have your first round tackle, you know, just give it a go. So
he was on the field when they like lined up. I don't know if it was like 7 on the line or something for that Taysom Hill touchdown. Oh, yeah.
Kalen
at the
Sanders
end of the game.
In the backfield, the defensive tackle.
You got your defensive tackle, Kalen Sanders, in the backfield. You got Trevor Penning over there as like a extra tight end. I mean, every time I watch the Saints, I can't believe I got to this place, but I'm like, give me more Taysom Hill. Man, like they're off. You know, he's pretty good at what he does. He's not worth the money that he gets. He's guaranteed like $13 million next year, by the way, too. So he's not going anywhere. But it's like, at least they got some juice when he's on the field. He's been pretty good this year.
Dude, as someone who has been on the wrong end of a lot of Taysom Hill runs, as far as Falcon fans go, I swear to God, that Taysom Hill quarterback power run is like one of the most unstoppable plays in football. Like when the goal line, they can run it on first down and short yardage. Unfortunately, you know, it's not a play you can run every single down. But as a nice little changeup, it's become kind of a crutch for their offense at times. And maybe he was worth that contract that they gave him a few years ago.
I don't think so. But he's actually turning into like a decent tight end. He went 4 for 50 tonight. Like you see him out there actually running some real routes. Because
yeah,
I'm watching the next gen stats feed, and like he's lined up as a wide receiver. I don't know how many snaps. It seemed like quite a bit of snaps. It's kind of crazy, but it just goes to show like they're a wild organization. I love having them in the NFL because there's no other team that's trading multiple first round picks and trading up for Trevor Penning and trading multiple first round picks for Chris Olave. They just do whatever the hell they want. Give this contract to Taysom Hill. They don't care.
It's fun. It's definitely fun to watch because I respect it to a degree. Just the never tank philosophy.
Yeah.
Like we're not bottoming out. We're going for it. But it's just starting to deteriorate. And I think this year is really one of the heaviest times you can see, oh, wow, this is kind of going to be a multi-year rebuild for them to get back to where they want to be.
But like your Falcons and like the Bucks, this division is pretty lousy. So everyone's got hope. And so the Saints still have hope at 3-4. But I'm kind of glad they're 3-4 because they deserve to be 3-4. They don't deserve to be 4-3. Let's finish by talking some positive about the Jaguars, maybe where we see them going from here. I've been really impressed this year with Foye Oluokun. He's the one who got the pick six here. And Darius Williams, who really struggled last year on the outside. He came over from the Rams, winning the Super Bowl there, where he was a great story. Really struggled a year ago. And this year has been making a lot of good plays on the football. And I believe he's the one that tipped up that pass that ended up being taken back in by Oluokun. And I'm just seeing a lot of players that are a little more comfortable in this Mike Caldwell scheme in their second year. And they came into tonight leading the league in turnovers. They forced one tonight. They were without their best cornerback. Still look pretty good out there for the most part. Like, just tell me what you see and kind of what stands out with this defense this year.
The run defense is so good. Like, they just pummel people up front. I thought one of the most impressive sequences that they had was when they got down to the goal line and they gave up the first down. And it was like the 16-play drive where Taysom Hill scored on the fourth down. But they stuffed them on first and goal, second and goal, third and goal before they gave it up on fourth down. That stuff was so impressive to me. And I think we just watched how they beat up on the Saints O-line throughout the night. It's like, man, if they can just get something out of Trayvon Walker, because Josh Allen's here this year. If they can just get something out of Trayvon Walker, like, that defense could really, really ascend, because they have the run defense. Like you said, when Tyson Campbell gets back, I think that secondary is looking pretty good, especially with the development of Andre Sisco on the back end. If you can just get another pass rusher to pair with that run defense and the development of linebackers, like, that defense is going to be just a pain when it gets to the playoffs.
Yeah, and Trayvon Walker does contribute in the running game. He's a good run defender, and they're tough to push. They've actually gotten healthier. I think Devon Hamilton, was he back? He's
coming back soon. He's a back or is coming back soon, yeah.
And if they're somewhat balanced, they got to get their offense to improve. But this was one of those games where it was like they were -2 in turnovers in the first half, and they went into halftime up 17-6. Despite the Saints, I'm counting it now, got 7 possessions in the first half. And so in the Jaguars only held them to 6. So I look at that stuff. Then they hold them to a field goal. Then they get the pick 6. So at that point in the game, we're into the fourth quarter now. The defense has already been on the field for 9 or 10 possessions. They've actually scored more points with that pick 6 than they've given up. At that point, it's totally on the Jaguars offense that the game isn't just over. And if the Jaguars offense didn't go 3 plays, 4 plays, then first down and punt and downs, and then first down and punt in the second half. Like, this score would have been different, and we would have been talking about the Jaguars. Like, we wouldn't be looking at a 24 spot that New Orleans put up. So it's one of those things you got to watch the whole game to get the whole story. Because to me, the Jaguars' offense, for the most part, let them down. After that first quarter surge, and the defense won them this game.
Yeah, this was a defensive-led performance for sure. I would find this performance a little concerning if I was a Jaguars fan, because, like, you've made it to the playoffs. You've had a signature moment by coming back from the Chargers and even playing well against the Chiefs for the most part in that divisional game. So now you kind of want a little bit more. And to me, like, a performance like that, when we're stuck in park for, like, 2 quarters at a time, that's a little concerning.
It's every game, though, this year. The Bills. Yeah. That was against the Colts last week, actually.
Even against the Falcons in the second half. They weren't really moving the ball.
Even the Chiefs game, which they didn't win, but they were kind of stuck there the whole time. It's been consistent like this. It's a little concerning. But when they got the ball, I got to say, for some reason, I just was like, the Saints are going to mess this up one way or another. Like, even when it was tied, I was like, I don't know how the Saints are going to lose this, but they're going to lose it. And to the Jaguars' credit, they get the ball back after punting it. 3:45 left after a terrible punt on the Saints 46. Second play of that drive, Christian Kirk just made Honey Badger look slow. Kind of hurt my heart because I'm a big Honey Badger fan. But
that was tough.
I never seen Christian Kirk look so good. So give them some credit for, you know, their best two players on offense for the most part is Lawrence and Etienne. But Kirk's probably third right now. And Kirk made a big-time play there, 44 yards to go win the game.
Yeah, that was like a pour one out for Honey Badger moment, because he got dusted, and it was one of those moments where Christian Kirk, you could see he was accelerating away, and Honey Badger just kind of stayed at the same speed, and I was like, oh no, it ain't quite 2018 anymore. But I think that's kind of where the Saints are going to exist though for the next few years,
right?
Not where the Jaguars are though, because That's a young good roster that you can still add pieces to.
No, and they'll have decisions to make. Josh Allen is having a crazy good contract year, so they might have to use the tag with him. But Calvin Ridley's a free agent too, so there's a lot coming up. But they don't have to worry about that. They got a chance to do things this year in this AFC. They are the favorites in the AFC South. You're one of my favorites, Charles. I appreciate you. Exemplist Podcast.
What's up?
And you're still writing the four verts on yahoo.com. You're still doing the good thing. One of my favorite columns out there and writing some other stuff during the week.
Yeah, going to Philly this week for the Dolphins-Eagles game. So,
oh, dang.
Really excited about
that.
All
right. I root for the Eagles there. I locked them up. We do our locks of the week every week. It's a competition. I wanted to take the Jags. I said it, and then Lawrence's injury freaked me out. I didn't want to have to wait until game time, so I got off the Jags. So Eagles better come through with me. For me. What? Who you got in that game?
Eagles, they just signed Julio.
Oh, okay. That's Charles still thinking not just about the Super Bowl, but the following year when I was with you. I was in Philadelphia. For some reason, I liked that Falcons team because I wanted them to get some redemption. I think they had a chance to win the Super Bowl that next year. People don't remember that.
They were so close.
And Matt Ryan sailed that.
You know what we almost had that year was Falcons Saints NFC title game because that was the Stephon Diggs catch that year, too. One play away in each game from Falcons Saints NFC title game, which is basically like World War III.
Yeah. Instead, we got Brandon Graham strip sacking my guy Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Charles, great job again. Fun game. Jaguars win it 31-24. We will be back here on Sunday for the flagship recap show. In the meantime, eat the coffee.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.